Yeah, so before COVID, one in five of our neighbors was accessing human service support. We know through COVID that those numbers have doubled or tripled in some communities, in some areas. Not everyone's home was safe. Not everyone was able to navigate through the unknowns that we just went through. I'm particularly concerned about our young people, but also our adults and the mental health strain. We all just experienced trauma, every single one of us. We just went through it. Yeah. And there's the resiliency in individuals, and also the, even though it was social distancing, how much we need to actually come together. And that's metaphorically, but also literally, to support each other. But if anyone who is listening needs support, our main community resource is 211. So think of 911 as your emergency. 211 is to access help. You will have a phone answered on the other side. There's also texting, but 211 Lifeline, which is run by our amazing partners at Goodwill of the Finger Lakes, they can listen to the needs. They can connect the individual to the services and supports. They also monitor the suicide prevention hotline, child abuse, and of course, a whole range of access to emergency needs. 211 is a longstanding United Way partner. They are the central resource, and they are seeing caseloads that have tripled. And there should be no shame or stigma. And as business leaders, if you have employees, if you have customers, this is here. So human beings are what we are managing as leaders and when we are serving as our customers. And to recognize the human condition, to provide those supports is such a critical element of how we're going to heal and move forward.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here with Jamie Saunders. Jamie, what's up? How are you today? What's going on?
Great to see you, Ben. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great to see you too. I'm honored you're taking the time. I know this has been in the works for a while now. And you're really busy as the president and CEO of the United Way of Greater Rochester and the Finger Lakes. As most people here know, United Way served the community for over 100 years. And I love what you do. So, Jamie, let's introduce this for the people I know personally. I'll put myself on the spot. I know of the United Way, but I've never actually volunteered or been part of any of the events. So give us a bird's eye view of exactly what the United Way does for Rochester and the surrounding region.
Great question. High level, that we are, our whole entire work, our effort, our energy, our North Star is that we improve lives. And we do that by mobilizing the caring power of communities to advance the common good. What does that mean? That means that those who want to do good, we want to help you make those connections. When there's community need, we run towards those problems. United Way, we are 100 years old. There are United Ways across the globe, 1,800 of us, but we're all individually run and operated, really have the power of a network, but we are hyper-focused locally. And I must say, I'm 4 years into this United Way. My entire career has been connected to United Way, running a food bank to a domestic violence agency. When you look, United Way is usually there. If there's a community issue, community solution, innovation, we're a part of that. And we do that in partnership with workplaces. Many run a United Way campaign. They give a little bit of their paycheck every week. And that really builds this huge momentum. So we're able to invest in our community and connect those, again, who want to do good things right in their neighborhood.
I love this. So right in our neighborhood, invest in the community, connect the right people to the right solutions, to the right help. Let's give some examples of different kinds of events and initiatives United Way puts on.
Yeah, so we are champions for the human service sector. So we know arts and culture and history, all of these are amazingly important for the health of our region, the vibrancy of our region. United Way focuses in human service. So we are supporting the network of providers from your residential group homes, domestic violence, child abuse, mental health, substance abuse, all of the challenges you can think of. United Way is there to connect, to invest, and truly to rally volunteer support to help our nonprofit partners. And that is hard to understand because it's at such a macro level. Sure. But when you think about it, you know, a child doesn't wake up hungry on any given day for no reason. That mental health issues don't just appear out of nowhere. We don't end up at the doorstep of Willow Domestic Violence Center without a whole host of things that bring a family to that moment. Our challenges as individuals and families are complex, and therefore our response has to be as well. And that's where United Way comes in. It's not one single issue, it is multiple issues. And United Way, it is so humbling to be able to have that view and that vantage point of what is happening across community, how we can make those connections, and truly how we can innovate to really tackle these challenges, which I anticipate we'll talk, because we cannot stop talking about the last 2 years of our lives, but many of our challenges have gotten bigger, more compounded, and more complex, and we really need the rally of the community to support.
Yeah, so you guys are looking at a macro level. You have so many different solutions based on specific needs. A lot of us, so I've learned we all have a unique story, and some people do go through domestic abuse, God forbid, or, you know, bad upbringing, poor, not the best community, learning disabilities. We all go through something, and our families are always going through something. How do I reach out? I mean, any listener is going through something at a micro level. How do they get the kind of resources so they know what to do next?
Yeah, so before COVID, 1 in 5 of our neighbors was accessing human service support. We know through COVID that those numbers have doubled or tripled in some communities, in some areas. Not everyone's home was safe. Not everyone was able to navigate through the unknowns that we just went through. I'm particularly concerned about our young people, but also our adults and the mental health strain. We all just experienced trauma, every single one of us. We just went through it. Yeah. And there's the resiliency in individuals, and also the, even though it was social distancing, how much we need to actually come together. And that's metaphorically, but also literally, to support each other. But if anyone who is listening needs support, our main community resource is 211. So think of 911 as your emergency. 211 is to access help. You will have a phone answered on the other side. There's also texting, but 211 Lifeline, which is run by our amazing partners at Goodwill of the Finger Lakes, they can listen to the needs. They can connect the individual to the services and supports. They also monitor the suicide prevention hotline, child abuse, and of course, a whole range of access to emergency needs. 211 is a longstanding United Way partner. They are the central resource, and they are seeing caseloads that have tripled. And there should be no shame or stigma. And as business leaders, if you have employees, if you have customers, this is here. So human beings are what we are managing as leaders, and when we are serving as our customers, and to recognize the human condition, to provide those supports is such a critical element of how we're going to heal and move forward.
Massively critical. And I hope everyone's listening. The help is there. There's no reason to feel uncomfortable. 211, people are here to help you. I want to hear a little bit more about your story. You had mentioned that United Way had came up multiple times in your life leading into this role as the president and CEO locally. Walk us through a little bit maybe of your work or personal history and what led you into this role today, and maybe just kind of like philanthropy as a whole as to why you were so connected to advocacy and philanthropy and anything like that, Jamie.
Great question. I don't know about you, but one of my COVID projects during lockdown was to clean and organize all those boxes that said organize someday. Well, that day was now, right? So going through some of those old boxes out of the basement, you know, was coming through high school records and notes. And, you know, I graduated from Brighton High School, and I give a lot of credit to the educators in our lives who give you a place to match your passion. So I started every student club you can think of around racial equity to women's rights to starting our first recycling program. And I try to think about why. And I do recall, you know, social justice, or rather the firm belief that every human being should have the right and the opportunity to a life of their dreams, that core belief and recognizing there are barriers in front of many. We do not start at the same starting line. No. So how do we address that? And the awakening that, again, because I was fortunate enough to be born to the parents I am born, fortunate enough to have the skin color that I do, fortunate enough to have a father who kept saying, you can do anything, which in the 70s and 80s was not common for little girls, to have educators and mentors and sponsors in your life who just kept making those ways, and to be lucky enough to be born in a zip code that didn't limit my potential. And that's what we see. When you look at the data, depending on where you are born, the zip code you are born in can actually impact your life expectancy. It impacts your education. It impacts your access to jobs. So as a young person, I found that unconscionable. I will tell you, it always goes back to social studies and English teachers, but I remember reading some storybooks about, you know, atrocities in history. And then I came across an article when we used to have magazines all scattered about, and it was a Newsweek article about human trafficking. And I didn't understand what it meant. And then to realize that the United States is one of the purchasers, the largest purchaser of human beings, it was infuriating. And then to understand what that means, and then why, and then how can we do something about it? So that's young Jamie. And then my whole career, I love nonprofits, but I believe in the business sector, the nonprofit and public sector coming together. That's this powerful trifecta. And so my education, my career has been dedicated to leveraging the best of business, which is innovation, creativity, action-oriented, the best of public sector, which is paving our roads, making that all the, candidly, the less sexy stuff, the stuff we need for the greater good, to make sure that that is happening at scale, but it doesn't move that fast. That's intentional. And then the nonprofits who fill in the gaps and are doing this amazing Herculean work and just make the vibrancy for our community. Having those three together, that is what has inspired me. And that is why I feel so fortunate to be at the United Way, because we are in that circle with all of these constituents. So our United Way, any United Way, we are able to do what we do because 50,000 individuals raise their hand and contribute dollars every year. And then the thermometer goes up, and then it starts right back at zero, and we start over. 800 workplaces, 1,500 companies doing corporate gifts. It's just this amazing swelling of support from business and individuals and volunteers and our neighbors, and then our amazing not-for-profits. So all of that is what motivates me, and leading with and through and in partnership with others. What COVID had demonstrated is that anything is possible when we do that, when we really leverage the best of each of the sectors, and we can accomplish amazing things in a very short period of time.
Great learning experience on all the things we can accomplish together. So we're rallying the troops. What's the easiest way to get involved? I know personally, if there's too many hoops to jump through, I get overwhelmed and I end up doing something else. Is there any easy ways for someone to get more involved in the community through the United Way without having to jump through too many hoops or feeling difficult? A small donation or small, you know, donation of time? What would you recommend?
Great, great question, and one of my favorites. So there is always a place and always a need, no donation too small. United Way, our average donor is $2 a week. And then we've got philanthropists that are $100,000, and it's amazing, and it just makes The generosity is personal. And so when individuals want to invest their time, their talent, or treasure, that's very personal, and to ensure that it's the right fit. We at United Way, we have something called Volunteer United, and that is a website where nonprofits list their needs, and then individuals can search for opportunities for this weekend or a weekday, or, you know, I've got like an amazing tax accountant, but all she wants to do is teach yoga, right? When I volunteer, I don't want to make a single decision because I make decisions for my day job. So you can find where your passion is, where you can lean in and fit. And I so appreciate your comment about jumping through hoops. It should be easier. The challenge is it's when we show up to help, for example, to read to children. People always want to read to children, say at a shelter. The unintended consequence is there's a power dynamic there, or a child could become attached, but then the individual doesn't return. And so these are human beings. So we have to be very thoughtful about the commitment. The level of showing up matters. And if one can't make that commitment, there's always a need to sort food at FoodLink. Oh my gosh, are they doing amazing work? There's other ways to support. But when we get to human service, you got to have your heart in it. And it really takes the time and dedication and humility. And I would also offer that if you reach out to one of our beloved nonprofits and you don't hear back, they're the ones that need you the most. Our nonprofits are deeply under-resourced. They are overstretched. They do not have the workforce at levels. And this is currently what many are experiencing, is a workforce labor market that is something we've never seen before. When you hear about the healthcare worker shortage, you hear about the trauma of the frontline staff. Insert human service staff here. They're experiencing the same thing. In the throes of COVID, PPE, all that protective equipment and the masks and all the supplies went to healthcare as it should. The nonprofits were the ones who didn't close and they didn't have those resources. So it was United Way that rallied supplies. We partnered with government to be able to help. But I must say, nonprofits need help, and it may be unconventional. And just to give empathy and grace, they are doing amazing work on fumes. And we are all better when we have a strong and healthy nonprofit sector.
We are better. And I almost want to take back jumping through hoops, because you've kind of brought to light that just because someone didn't return your single call doesn't mean they don't need your help. It's just that they're so understaffed and they could use so much help that they're doing the best they can. And maybe you can be the person answering those calls.
That's right.
I love that. Yeah. Go on.
I was just going to say, it's really when I think about how do we channel the positive intent, right? So I had an amazing neighbor. Her kids had grown. She had like tons of equipment, from her babies to like, you know, cribs and beds and all this stuff. And she's like, I called 4 nonprofits and they won't come pick it up. And I said, you know why? Because when I ran our domestic violence agency, I had to pull my cook, who had to cook for 49 women and children, but I had to pull my cook to drive out to the suburb to load up with the in-kind goods. So all was well-intended, but they just don't have the ability or the capacity. So how do we educate and really lift up? Because that's a beautiful thing to recognize and to donate this amazing gift, which I knew families would want and benefit from, but they really don't have capacity. So just like running your business, everything comes at a cost, right? Yeah. So it's time of your staff. How do I redeploy? And so the ability to show up candidly with humility to say, I believe in your mission and I want to help. And how can I be the most help? Like is like the manna, right? Now it's the most beautiful thing to a not-for-profit when you have someone who shows up, just put me to work. And also to donate without restriction. And this is like a wild time. And I've evolved to talk about philanthropy. All the buzz is in this last quarter. Mackenzie Scott, you may have heard, she's amazing on her own. She was a 25th employee at Amazon. So she's the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos. She is now upending philanthropy because she calls nonprofits and showers money on them. And I was one of those who took that call where we got $20 million we didn't apply for and it fell from the sky. It was like the most amazing thing. That was trust-based philanthropy. And she just announced last quarter, she announced it just recently again, more money. I mean, we're talking $400 million to Boys and Girls Club, another $400 million to Habitat. The amazing thing in the learning of somebody that significant, we can also do at the $2, $5, $10, $100 donor, that the more hoops we make the nonprofits jump through, the more reporting, the more technical, you know, meeting with us, all of those pieces make it so they can't focus on the great program work that they're doing. So I go, we absolutely have to be accountable, absolutely have to prove outcomes, absolutely have to right size an organization. If they are a proven nonprofit, they know where the dollars are needed. I share that example. I was running our domestic violence agency. I had 27 funders. I had to do different reports for every month, and I had to dedicate two staff to do that. And it was the same data, but it wasn't asked for in the same way. It was like just so much extra effort. Yeah. We had a beautiful donor who wanted to have us fund purple flip-flops. Purple is the color of domestic violence. Purple flip-flops for all the residents. So when they went into the, you know, the showers, that they had this reminder that people cared about them. Beautiful. I needed to fund my hotline worker, right? So how can we trust and empower the nonprofits who know what's needed, and to invest in them and to lift them into that trust base? So I appreciate what Mackenzie Scott has brought to bear, which is this trust-based philanthropy. Trust the experts. We don't tell Apple how to run their business. We just love what they produce. Many of us, not everybody, but I do.
Sure.
So how do we really apply that to the nonprofits as well? So those are just some of the key learnings. I'm on my soapbox, Ben, because I'm so passionate about this sector. And if we want to have the nonprofits be as innovative and brilliant as they are, we got to invest in them, and then we got to get out of their way.
I love it. And it is about trust. And it is about, for me, it's help because you can, and help as much as you can. I'll get on my soapbox. I wake up every morning, and I had to train myself to think this way, but I'm just so darn grateful that I woke up in the morning, that I have a new opportunity at life, that in my case, I'm waking up on a soft pillow in a warm air-conditioned house, and I'm getting on this magical technology of Zoom to have brilliant conversations with people like Jamie. Like, it's such a blessing, and it's not past me that some people don't have that life or that blessing. And
yeah, well, it's gratitude. That's a mental reframe. Yeah. I will tell you, I'm sure you find this with your company, and we find it at United Way and our workplace partners. This has been a tough slog. I mean, like the pandemic, no question. Yeah. Now, what is this new world? How do we navigate it? How do we support our staff? How do we have team building and collaboration? How do we have capacity to attack these challenges and grow? Like, where's the positive? There's so much greatness happening in Rochester. I mean, we are growing jobs at a higher rate per capita. We have incredible energy downtown and the Rock the Riverway, new investments, beautiful. We also have some of the greatest racial disparities, segregation, highest childhood poverty in the nation. We have both and. So how are those both true? And then what do we do to address them? But I appreciate your gratitude statement, because I have been practicing in the last month in particular of what is going right. So I'm a fix it person. So I always look at something and think, how can I make it better? Right. So I'm going to get a 98 on the test. And what did I miss? So now it's what is going right? And then how do we replicate more of that? What is a bright spot that is going so well in our town that we can elevate and learn from it, regardless of the sector, regardless of the actual business? How do we learn? How do we lift that? How do we replicate it? So that's where I'm spending a lot of my time right now. And you asked about, you know, leaders and the leaders in the community in this next phase. It's how do we learn from this moment? And then how do we not get so tired that we take a breath? It's really, we got to push forward.
Learn from it, push forward. And part of, Jamie, why I bring up the gratitude thing is sometimes I feel like I have rose-colored glasses, blinders on, where my life's good and I'm grateful, and you forget that some people don't have that luxury. So the past really only 3 years of my life, I'm going back to what I did as a child, and I'm giving back more, and I'm doing more community service. And I wish I had done it the past 15 years, but fact of the matter is I didn't. And I realize that now, and I want to give back. And it seems like it's really, really simple. So you said that $2 a week is the average donation. This might be an offline question, but can I set up a reoccurring donation?
Absolutely, you can.
Between,
please, that's what it is.
And I'm putting myself on the spot because I want people to mimic what we're doing here. That's what I'm going to do. I know that a cup of coffee is already $2, but if you look at, I spend $5 a day on vitamins. I can spend $10 a day on a cause like this. So just want to throw that out there.
I'll take you up on it, Ben. I love it. And you tell me and your expertise on if it's easy on our website to be able to do it, because we're all learning on technology. We're now able to accept crypto. So there's like a whole new world. You have to always be on the leading edge to be able to accept donations, process it, make it super easy for our customer. And our customer is the general public. And how can we make it easy for the general public to give and to engage and to feel purpose? And I think people are craving purpose in a very meaningful way that we, again, we all went through this amazing, wild, scary experience. Mm-hmm. We're seeking purpose and meaning, and you can absolutely do that with United Way, with our organization, support the nonprofits. And I bet, Ben, you're finding that it is, you get a lot out of it when you give. Yeah. So it always fuels us, you know. It's not, it just is a way. And then with the business side on it, you know, I was supporting United Way before I worked here because I believed in it. I believed in the collaboration. I did direct giving too to agencies I loved, but I always wanted the United Way, and it was some of the best networking with other nonprofits. So there's, you can feel good about it, know you're doing good, and meet incredible other leaders within the community.
I'm with you. I'm a happier person. I'm meeting better people. I'm surrounding myself around good people. You mentioned being on the leading edge, and we've already touched on so many things, but I'm curious as to what's cooking. Accepting crypto as donations, that's fun. What are some other ways that, you know, United Way is on that futuristic leading edge of the not-for-profit community?
Yeah. So I'll talk about United Way business first, like inside our shop. You know, we were based on workplace giving, founded by the Kodak company and George Eastman. I've got a copy of his letter outside my office that he typed. It was on a typewriter, and it was our first gift, which was $500,000 back in 1918, which is $7 million now. Wow. And he started it, and he thought that there's a better way. If we pool our resources, we can help our community better versus everybody coming one at a time. Flash forward 100 years, it's not mass fundraising. Individual donors want to be communicated with in their own time about things that matter to them and the way that matters to them. So our United Way has to evolve so that we know that Jamie Saunders cares about domestic violence, cares about after-school programming. I want, you know, one email a quarter on what's happening, and I want to volunteer, and I want to network. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, her favorite is Pinot Grigio. Like, all that stuff needs to be then captured so that I'm communicated to in a way that is meaningful to me. So going from a mass fundraising organization to an individual fundraising organization, we are in the process of a data warehouse and business analytics and all of those good things that many in the for-profit sector have done well before us, but that's our future right now. Taking that to the nonprofit sector, we are looking at, as I shared, our issues are connected. Our challenges are compounded and connected. So when someone shows up for a bag of groceries to put food on the table, it's how do we meet that person where they are and then to understand why they're showing up at the food line to begin with. Mm-hmm. So is it medical costs? Is it that their tire broke and they can no longer get to their job on time? Is it that the employer is no longer supporting because of whatever circumstance was happening in their lives that made them repeatedly late, right? Which is understandable on the employer part, but let's figure out, were they fleeing domestic violence? Were they juggling? If you haven't watched The Maid on Netflix, I highly encourage it. It is a hard thing to watch, but it's a great story of how a person who's trying to flee an abusive relationship can't keep the job and all the barriers in front of her for doing the thing that's right for her and her family. Mm. That is not an unusual story. No. So our job is to look at the systems that are holding people back and figure out ways to streamline it. So human-centered design, I know, has been, again, in the corporate space around product development, putting the family and individuals in the middle, and then how do we align the helping structures around the family and individual? How do we empower them with what is important and making it easy and accessible? So what does that mean in reality? That is technology. So I talk with my hands. It's going to be on your phone. There's some great things happening. And it's really to make it easy for the families who need help for that moment. But behind the scene, the flow chain, the supply chain, the way that the service is delivered, that's what we have to get better at. And it's, again, not for lack of will, heart, talent, expertise, and caring in the nonprofits. We have just been funded and trained in silos. So you go to the domestic violence agency, that's separate from your food pantry, which is separate from your mental health professional, separate from your substance abuse. People don't segment that way. So let's figure out how we can make this easier and more effective for families. So more to come, but yes. That's the goal. That's the evolution. The human service sector was started by wonderfully passionate individuals, and it was not a system. It was just organically created. And then the government funds many of the services on contract, still not coordinated as a sector. To be the strong region, the economic engine, to be a place where companies will come and stay, where our young people don't leave because they just love the Greater Rochester community because it has this vibrancy. Again, we need a healthy sector, and we need to make sure that people get the help that they need right when they need it.
Mm. When you run in for politics, you should be mayor, or something.
Yeah, well, you know, I just believe in this community. I'm born and raised here.
Yeah,
I'm also fairly competitive, and the fact that we can't get some things moving, and that we can't solve it, and I think everybody points to Buffalo, and I was just there recently, and there's some really great things happening in Buffalo. And why and how and great things are on the precipice here in Rochester. And how do we make sure we don't lose that momentum, lose that that will, and get rid of these silos that hold us back, and that holds us back in our own organizations, and it really holds us back as a community. So I keep reminding myself, particularly in the early days of COVID, you know, United Way, we were staffing those crisis response calls twice a day, 7 days a week. We were really in the response mode of how do you feed all the older adults that are homebound? How do you get food to the 30,000 kids who are no longer at the city school district or, again, now they're home? Solving all these rapid problems and challenges. Nobody had ego. Nobody asked how they were going to get paid for it. We just knew it was the right thing to do in that moment. And it was so creative. And it was innovative. I mean, we redeployed buses from the public bus system, was delivering food to older adults that was coordinated by 211 and Lifespan. Like it was the most beautiful thing when you could say, here's the challenge, like a project team. Here's the challenge. And everybody brought the assets and the skills they could to solve it. I cling to those early months of COVID because it demonstrated what we can do, what we can accomplish. And so how do we continue with that urgency? I believe in data. I believe in research, a policy wonk. There's a time for action, and this is the moment. This is the time. How do we take this crisis? How do we take this moment? And how do we build this greater Rochester that we know that we can be? And equity and access has to be right in the middle every step of the way. You know, we score terribly, like embarrassingly poor. And if we aren't a place for all, then we will never benefit and never benefit from the talent and the vibrancy and the expertise that we know that we need and can thrive as a community. So all of that is to say that this is important. I keep looking at my kids at this general, like, I don't want to have to keep apologizing that we didn't figure this out as grownups, that it's going to pass to this next generation. We can do better. We just have to be able to do that and make sure that we have that alignment and that we continue forward.
I love it, Jamie. There's nothing wrong with data. I love data, but it seems like sometimes, especially in a pandemic or in a scenario that we're undergoing where the city's not perfect, you almost have to put data aside and just start taking massive action, right? I get the feeling that you're a massive opportunist. We talked about how, first off, I have no doubt that the United Way is running incredibly and the team members are just doing an incredible job and massive value. And you still were vulnerable enough to say, we have some issues here. We need to, you know, adapt here. It seems like you're a massive opportunist. Do you see yourself that way? Have you always been that way? What are your thoughts on that statement?
Yeah, I always see potential and I always want to make things better than I found it, right? So that's just at the core. And I think the balance is recognizing that the workforce is tired because we all went through what we just went through. We're also looking for hope. And that is a really powerful thing. And people have dreams. Again, people have done a lot of reflection. There's a lot of this reshuffling, rethinking. People are moving to different places. They call it the Great Resignation, but I think it's a beautiful thing in the sense that people are finding their purpose, including courage. So, you know, we at United Way, when I joined, I was amazed by the tenure. We've had staff here for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And we have had a wave of retirements right in the last quarter, and it's been hard. It's also part of an organizational life cycle. So we will continue to move forward and grow, and staying really firm in your mission and your purpose is how we will get there. And I'm excited. The United Way of today will be very different 10 years from now. Right. And that's what we're focused on. What the community needs from us is what we are. That's our purpose. And we have to be responsive to that. We will continue to lead in that way, but we can't do this work without the everyday donor, without companies that are running their workplace campaigns. And now we're in a remote work environment. And so there's a way that also giving back through United Way, companies and teams can connect and bond. And we do that right here at United Way as well. So you got to believe in it. You got to feel right valued and heard. But I see so much potential, not just for United Way, but for our community. And that's what I cling to. But I'm also told, you know, I can, it's, you know, what is that? You stuff 50 pounds of flour to a 10 pound bag, right? So you need a team that helps you prioritize, because I can see it all is important and I can see all the potential and opportunity, like you said, Ben. So how do you prioritize and make sure you're right sizing your resources, your staff capacity? When you're talking about lives, you're talking about generations, it's hard to say we'll get to it. And that's the urgency that comes from me. Like how can we have a whole nother generation go by? How can we have another 3,000 babies born in this county go by without us figuring out some of these fundamental pieces that make things and make lives better? So there is that tug and pull. You can probably hear from me. I'm the only ENTJ Myers-Briggs out of my 105 staff members, right? Okay. And if you know Myers-Briggs, you know they're like, go, go, go. And I am always thinking of what's next, but you have to have an amazing team. And we're so fortunate here. Brilliant, 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 talented team, very mission pulled. And we're in a reinvention. And it's a very, very exciting time to be at United Way and very exciting time to think about what's next.
I love it. And I said it before, we help because we can and we do what we can. So how, for me, I don't think I have the answers, but I know if I do something, it's far better than just sitting here idly and not doing anything at all. And you and I are having this conversation, right? But it's not about Ben and Jamie. It's not about us. It's about we. It's about all of us. It's about all the listeners, your team members, everyone we meet on a daily basis and their opportunity to help as well. Like, we're the ones having the conversation, right? But we're the least important people. It's everyone that's important together, or else this conversation isn't even really possible or effective, I feel like, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is really not about I, it is we. And I so appreciate your sentiment. It's actually an Edmund Burke quote that I love, which is, nobody made a greater mistake than he or she who did nothing because they could only do a little. So that idea that you stay on the sidelines because you don't know the answers, someone does. And that's where it gets back to the trust. Like, I honestly, if you're going to do like investment banking, that's not something I know. I have people who can help advise. There's people who do that as their day jobs. United Way, we wake up and think about these issues. We are out in the community. We are paying attention. We're data driven. This is what we do. And that's why, again, trusting in us. And still invest in your amazing organizations, like stay with those nonprofits. It's a both and it is about the collective we and making sure that you are involved, you individually and collectively are able to support the vision that you believe we can be.
Yes, I just had an improv coach in a business context on the show, and she taught about yes and that's what it is. It's a yes and. It's not a no but or a no because. It's a yes, I can still align with this and do more, even if it's just baby steps to do more. And I might not have the answers, yeah, but someone else, I just said, yeah, but that's technically not correct. Yes, and someone else has the answers where we can come to a solution together. So I want to.
You're doing my mom proud. So my mother is an improv. She has a nonprofit in New York, an improv, and it's always about and. Yes, and. And that's the name of her company, actually, is And Artistic New Directions. So she, you just did a solid there, Ben. That's great.
I'm going to need a whole I need a new notepad. I'm taking so many notes today, Jamie.
But you're so right. And that applies, I think, in management, leadership, and frankly, parenthood is yes and, right? So, you know, validate and then let's figure out how we can move forward. So for all those right reasons, it's a yes and there's lots of opportunity. There's lots of ways to support our community. It is a yes and I really appreciate you sharing that.
I've got a really tough random question then though. Mm-hmm. So parenthood, you've got a screaming kid that's being loud and they want the candy, but they've already ate a ton of candy and you really don't want to buy it for them. How do you yes and that screaming kid? I feel like in some cases,
do you have a real situation?
I personally do not, but people who close to me do. So
have this, that situation?
Yes. Yes. It's not personal.
The yes and is you dance out of the store and you come up with something else to do.
I love it.
There's always another option. And I think that's so true. And there's a, you know, that false binary choice. It's got to be A or B. I'm always looking for C, D, or E. There's always another door, another way, another, a different way of looking at a situation. So it's not just yes or no on the candy. Let's figure out something else that we can do.
Drawing outside the lines. Why not? There's always a different way to do it.
That's right.
Awesome. I want to go rapid fire, the rapid fire round. Short, sweet, either or, fill in the blank, cross out the question and answer something different. Doesn't matter. It's like Family Feud that it's quick, but it's like whose line is it anyway, that the points don't matter. Completely subjective to you. We'll just have a little bit of fun.
All right.
We'll do coffee or tea?
Coffee all day long.
Beer or wine?
Oh, wine. Not all day long, but every
I hope not all day long. That we need to have another conversation if that's
so that's I'm right. That's right. Call 211. Yep.
Favorite animal?
Ooh, human beings. Ooh.
Favorite furry animal?
Oh, that's good. We've got lots of animals in my house. We got a dog. We got a cat. We got guinea pigs. We got mice, like a pet mouse, not real ones that are there. So we love dogs. I'll say dogs.
Longer form. Give me a couple books or a couple things that have inspired you that I could add to my Amazon chart, my Amazon list, and learn from.
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. So Getting to Yes was very impactful to me as a book because it is about understanding individuals' needs and how can you get on the same side of the table. So we can sometimes come to discussions like butting heads, but then if you really understand the intent, you can come to an agreement. So I love that. That's about collaboration and a way to level up. I just got Justin Murphy's book. He was at the DNC. It's actually on my table over there, which is about the Rochester City School District and desegregation efforts. And I think that I'm looking forward to reading it about our history. If you don't know where you've been, we don't know how to carve the future and what were the barriers in between. And then we love, this is not a point, I forgot you were going to ask this question, but Switch.
Okay.
Which is a great about how to change things when change is hard. So this is one of the Chip and Dan Heath books. So we've been reading this organization wide, and it really is about the emotional needs and as well as the brain in terms of how to actually change and do different. So those are a few.
To digress just a little bit out of the rapid fire round, I'm curious, since you're reading this book organization wide, why do you read it organization wide? And what are some of the benefits you found in reading something like literature across your organization?
We have to be a learning organization. I think we've been so stuck in crisis mode that is so helpful when you're, when your head is down, you got to look up and be able to see what's happening around you and learn new different ways. And literature is about that. And it is a physical book that I was holding too. And there's something about that. I'm a, you know, underline, read it, tag it type of person. My leadership team, we just read Rocket Fuel. And that was as our leadership team to get the difference between a visionary, which is my role, and then an integrator, which is the COO, chief operating officer, bring it all together. Right. I think having everybody read that, one, I think it allowed, it gave some ability to use the similar language so that it was really clear. If you've read Rocket Fuel, it has a really great summary page of the great things about a visionary CEO and the things that drive everybody crazy. And I think that was really helpful to have a safe space to talk about where I am value add or why I behave the way I do, why I push us the way I do. And then for the team to have a space to say, got it. And then we have to look at it in this way as well. So common language, got to continue to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, I read a powerful article that said, if your job looks the same now as it did 3 years ago, you're out of date. And that article was before the pandemic. So again, we have to continue to learn and evolve. And I think making space at work is the way to do that. You know, it's just another form of connectivity.
Love it. Jamie, how do people stay in touch, whether it's the United Way website, you personally, social media? Give us a call to action. Where should we go and learn more?
We need you. So this is our 104th annual campaign. So the United Way runs a community-wide campaign. We're now six counties. So this is our first six-county regional United Way campaign. And I tell you, it is one of the hardest we've ever had to run. Workplaces aren't fully back. Inflation, all of these challenges compounded. The needs are great. So please, 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 if you're able, join us. Our website is UnitedWayRockFLX.org. There is reoccurring donations. There's lots of giving networks to be involved. We're back in person. So from Women United to all of our leadership, Leaders United events, please join us. Volunteer United is right on our website. We have 5,000 volunteers last year, and then more and more come, including in-kind needs, virtual and in-person volunteering. So lots of ways to get engaged in your local community and more so. So just so honored to have a chance to tell you about how much I love this organization. I love this community. Again, the message I hope that is the loudest is there's a role for everybody to where you are now and then over time. But the community needs you, and we need you here at the United Way, and there's lots of ways to get engaged at the level and the time commitment you wish.
I love it, Jamie. And I'm honored to be playing the role of having this discussion, but I'm just one piece to the puzzle. As you said, it's about we. And to close out, for anyone who feels a little overwhelmed because information overload and I don't know where to go next or this or that, just provide a little solace and comfort of the best next move that we should do after listening to this episode today. What mindset should we be in?
This is a moment in time. This is a historic moment. I've dedicated my career and my living here, and I love this community, born and raised, left for a bit, but came back. This is a beautiful place. And we have a unique opportunity at this moment to carve out the future. And that is not to sound too lofty. It's true. Just simply that we have the most amount of public dollars come into this town, 800 million regionally. It's like the largest public infusion plus a different way of operating and learning. So as we move forward, I am filled with hope and optimism. And yet we also need to make sure the yes, and we need to make sure we take care of our own and we build an equitable future. So I'm on LinkedIn. I love folks to do that. They can follow me. I try to post the great things happening in companies and great nonprofit work and unique opportunities. Lots of ways to get involved. And the core message is you're needed, you make a difference, and you matter. So game on.
Game on. And guys, you can reach out to me too. Jamie, she's the president CEO. She's tremendously busy, but I'll make sure at the very least there's a bridge to her team, to her. Reach out to me, reach out to Jamie and her team, and you won't go unnoticed. Jamie, thanks again for coming on the show. I appreciated every minute with you.
I appreciate it, Ben. And I said, you're my son's name. So this is just like a great thing to say, Ben, repeatedly. So I love it, love it, love it. But I really appreciate you giving a platform to so many incredible businesses and leaders in this community. So really grateful for you as well.
Thanks. We'll have you on again, Jamie.
Thanks again. Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.